Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. Let's go to the phone callers. First up, Renee, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm co-leading a women's group, and another leader is wanting to lead the book by T.D. Jakes called Instinct. And now I've heard you speak about him on your program before in the past, and I've actually heard him speak, and obviously makes me slightly uncomfortable. But since I haven't read his book, I can't really speak much against the book itself. I wasn't sure if you knew much about the book or how maybe I could approach this woman about it, since she really seems to really love this book. So, yeah, I don't know if you have any insight that could help me sort of approach her about this.
Well, I, like you, have not read that particular book, but I know a lot about T.D. Jakes and his theology, and therefore I can tell you without reading the book that the man who wrote the book is a man who is communicating a theology which is not only manipulative, but dead wrong from a biblical perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, I had that feeling immediately when I heard the name. I thought, oh no. But I mean, like I said, I hadn't read it personally, and nor do I really want to, because it really, you only have to listen to one program and you don't want to listen to them again. And so I didn't really have care to, but yeah, I mean, I guess I could just bring up some of the stuff I've heard before and sort of question her about it. I just didn't want them to do the book and then have people, well, this is great, and then want to read more of his stuff when, you know, there's a lot of new Christians within our group. So yeah, well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You got it. And I've written about T.D. Jakes in my book, Christianity in Crisis, because he is a classic word of faith or prosperity preacher. And sometimes, as you alluded to, when you hear him speak, it quite literally makes you cringe.
I want to pray over your seed, and it would be ridiculous for me to pray that God would give it back to you. Because if all he was going to do was give it back to you, you ought to keep it, and then you just have it. That's ridiculous. If you got $100 or $1,000, and you're going to give $1,000, and I tell you, well, God's going to give you the $1,000 back, well, you just broke even. You could have kept the $1,000 and not gone through the trouble. Come on, church folks. But God is going to give you some more on top of that. And as you sow it, I dare you to say it again. Oh, my God. We're about to get on in here. I don't know what you're getting out there. Well, we're about to, somebody shout, increase!
To suggest that it is ridiculous to give for the sake of giving, as opposed to giving for the sake of getting, is itself ridiculous. We give so that, as Moses said, we can learn to reverence the Lord our God always. We give so that we can extend his kingdom, so that the gospel may go out to the far reaches of the world. The whole notion of giving to get, which he is proliferating around the world, and by the way, at huge, outrageous speaking fees that would literally boggle the mind, and then all of the trappings that go with that as though you're a president or a rock star. But the bottom line is that he is teaching a prosperity message which has no basis whatsoever in Scripture. So like prosperity preachers such as Benny Hinn and John Hagee and Joel Osteen, he is perverting the Word of God. And he is not only doing this with such things as teaching Word of Faith perversions, but also perversions with respect to the very nature of God. So this is a dangerous teacher, and I am very surprised that you see him appearing in the pulpits of people who profess to be evangelicals themselves. It is a great example of the chaos that today is reigning within the evangelical world. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to J.R. listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, J.R.
How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I was reading a book, or I am reading a book, about Jerusalem in the past and in the future, how it's God's city and so forth. I came across a term called replacement theology. Can you define that pretty good and what you think about it?
Well, I think it's an ironic term. In other words, there are people like the aforementioned John Hagee that dub others that do not hold to his particular eschatological scheme as replacement theologians. So if you dare question the notion of a pre-tribulational rapture that is followed by a Holy Land Holocaust in which the vast majority of Jews perish, then you're shouted down as a peddler of godless heresy. And the ultimate pejorative phrase has been coined for those who have the temerity to deny the heart of dispensational eschatology. They are dubbed precisely the phrase that you're asking about, replacement theologians, and they're said to be guilty of spreading the message of anti-Semitism. And popular dispensationalists are pretty blunt in their denunciations. To, again, quote John Hagee, replacement theologians are now carrying Hitler's anointing and his message. Now, the irony that I was mentioning is that Hagee is himself a replacement theologian. He believes Israel will replace the church as the focus of God's plans during the tribulation. In truth, the church never replaces Israel. The church is part of true Israel. In fact, true Israel can be found throughout the entire history of humanity in the sense of those who love and serve and follow Yahweh, the God of Israel, who is revealed in Jesus Christ. Those are the chosen of God. Those are the true covenant community. And that would be true if you're Rahab, or you're Ruth, or you're Abraham, or you are a chosen people, a holy nation, as Peter refers to those who are Gentiles or Jews, because the mystery of the Gospels, the two have become one. All who are in Christ are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. So this whole notion of replacement theology is a canard, it's a red herring, and it applies more specifically to the people who are placing it on others in a pejorative sense. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Al. He's listening in Washington, D.C. on the web. Hi, Al.
How you doing, Hank? I called a few days ago because I had a question about the Genesis account of the days of creation. All of the days said, you know, in the evening, one was the first through six, but I was just wondering why the seventh day never said that.
Well, the seventh day is an unending day, and because the seventh day is an unending day, it gives great exegetical problems for the idea of the young earth creationist camp that a day has to be a literal 24-hour period of time. So the argument is that yom preceded by a numeral always has to mean 24 hours, but of course, if you read scripture exhaustively, you find out that that is not always the case. For example, in Hosea 6:2, you have a devastating counterexample. There, yom preceded by a numeral represents a period of time longer than a single solar day. And then, as I just mentioned, the unending nature of the seventh day constitutes a major exegetical problem for the 24-hour interpretation. Logically and literarily, the seventh day cannot simultaneously be unending and temporal. But I think there's a bigger point here, and that is the days of Genesis are rendered literal solar days, not to establish a chronology of creation to begin with, but to remember the purposes of God in creation. And therefore, even the days that are designated prior to God creating luminaries on the fourth day, even those days are rendered literal solar days, even though there's no sun in the sky.
Wow. Okay. So Well, one of the reasons I'm asking is because I come from the background of the, you know, the 7-day Sabbath, and when I looked at it, it kind of looked to me like that wasn't said because it wasn't complete. And I don't know if that's along the same lines of what you're saying, but a lot of the Sabbatarians that I meet, you know, they hold to the fact that the 7 days of the Sabbath, and, you know, that's just the way it is. But I thought just by looking at it was just trying to, in so many words, it was saying that it wasn't complete. So it wasn't, in other words, there's still a rest coming.
Yeah, well, and that's right. I mean, we find our ultimate Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. The most dangerous snare for the early Christian church was a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the Sabbath. And that's why we worship on the first day of the week in honor of his resurrection. Be right back with more answers.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly 3 decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. www.thebibleanswerman.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Claudia next, listening in New Jersey. Hi, Claudia.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a question. I wanted to know if Seventh-day Adventists, are they Christians? Because I was watching someone on TBN. A show that is called It Is Written. And do they believe in the Trinity?
Well, yes. Seventh-day Adventists, they are not monolithic. They are multifaceted. So some Adventists are evangelical. Some Adventists are traditionalists. And the traditionalists, they major on Sabbatarianism. In other words, if you worship on Sunday as opposed to worshiping on Saturday, you've taken on the mark of the beast. They emphasize the seer status of Ellen G. White. They're very involved in legalistic prescriptions and the like. And I think for that particular branch of Adventism, it is a very dangerous thing to be involved in.
Okay. So they are Christians then, or?
Well, what I'm saying with respect to Seventh-day Adventists, some are evangelical in the sense that they hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And the things that I would disagree with them on are secondary to them, just as they are secondary to me. But there are also those traditionalists who major on the aberrant doctrines of soul sleep and Sabbatarianism and the seer status of Ellen G. White. And I think they are overtly saying themselves, unless you agree with them, you've taken on the mark of the beast. Now, obviously, if you've taken on the mark of the beast, then you're hardly a believer yourself. So I would say that they're separating themselves from the rest of evangelicalism.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris, listening in Champaign, Illinois. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just had a quick question. You used the term recently, just now, evangelical Christian. I just wanted to know the origins of that and sort of what does it mean to be that?
Well, evangelicals actually became distinct from fundamentalists after the 1947 coining of the term the new evangelicalism by Harold J. Ockinga, I believe. And basically the idea was that the fundamentalists had an incorrect attitude on so many different things and wrong strategy and a sort of anti-intellectualism. And so fundamentalism started to become connotative as opposed to being denotative, and therefore there were many people like Ockinga and Carl Henry and so forth who felt like there had to be another term that was coined to express those who adhere to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, but did not embrace a wrong reading of Scripture or an anti-intellectualism.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. And sometimes I wonder whether evangelicalism now is connotative as opposed to being denotative in much the same way that fundamentalism once was. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Nick, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Nick.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I've got a job opportunity that I might be able to take, but they said that they want me to work on Sunday. And this kind of branches off your previous question about working on Sunday versus worshiping on Sunday, rather. Since we don't have Gregorian calendar listed in the Bible, so I was just wondering what your thoughts are on working on Sunday and how that plays out.
Well, again, as I mentioned to the previous caller, I think it's important to realize that the symbol of the Sabbath is fulfilled in the substance of Jesus Christ. And therefore, throughout the unfolding plan of redemption, you see a different emphasis being placed on the Sabbath. In the beginning, was a celebration of God's work in creation. And then after the Exodus, it was expanded to a celebration of God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. But as a result of the resurrection, the emphasis became a celebration of the rest we have through Christ, who delivers us from sin and the grave. And thus, we no longer are worshiping on the last day of the week. Rather, we're worshiping on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the pattern is still the same. It's 6 days of labor, and the seventh day we rest in remembrance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the very one in whom we have our Sabbath rest. And the Old Testament Sabbatarian laws, which were part of a theocratic kingdom, are also abrogated in the sense that we don't stone people to death if you do any work on the Sabbath. I mean, it is a day that we want to focus on the Lord, but Paul also points out that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And thus, I think religious rites inevitably have to bow to redemptive realities, and the ultimate redemptive reality is the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. Back to the phone lines. Carol in Milton, Washington. Hi, Carol.
Yeah, hi, Hank. I haven't called in for quite a while. I love your ministry. And I had an experience with a woman coming to a lose weight program last week. And I don't know how it got started, but she started talking about spiritualism, and she's involved with that since she's been a little girl. And my little ears perked up. And I know that's the belief that they believe that the dead can communicate with the living. And I know that's unscriptural. And I looked up Deuteronomy 18:11, and it seemed to point that out. But do you have another source I could refer to, just in case I need to, kind of equip myself? Because she seemed to be very free in her talking about spiritualism. And this is a lost weight program, and I just want to be prepared.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we don't get our information from demons or from the dead, but rather we get our information from the divine creator of all things. He is the one that created us. He knows what's best for us. And so when we look to other sources, demonic sources or dead people, for information about the future, etc., it becomes detestable to the Lord. And I think you did right in going to Deuteronomy chapter 18, because there you have a list of those practices detestable to the Lord. And certainly one of those is the spiritist, who believes that the living can communicate with the dead and will try to conjure up the dead in order so that you can have a communication, you can find out about things that you wouldn't otherwise know about. And again, that's detestable to the Lord. And it's also dangerous in the sense that God hides the future from us because he loves us. And the way that God unveils the future is step by step. And the picture is of the psalmist who carries a lantern. And every time he takes another step down the dark path, the lantern throws a new circle of light. So you take a step and you step into some more light. And this is the way God reveals the future to us. And then whatever the future holds, he gives us the grace we need when we need it, and often not a moment before. So God, in his sovereign wisdom and love, gives us all that we need as those who are participants of the kingdom and those who live under his gracious rule.
Correct. So that would be the best reference in Deuteronomy. Is there another one by any chance that you could refer to?
Well, this idea of spiritism is not only given within the Old Testament, but it is given throughout the Bible. So you find the same kind of idea communicated by Paul in his didactic epistles. So you can cross-reference through the Bible and find other examples of how we are never to turn to pagan idols, to the dead, never conjure up information from demons and so forth, but rather what we are to do is go to our Heavenly Father.
Right, I agree. And then, anyway, I just want to, I couldn't find anything on the computer. I didn't know what site or anything to type in to bring something up, just so I can be prepared, because she's not afraid to speak up about her spiritualism, and I thought, holy mackerel, some there better, if the occasion arises in Christian love, be able to, you know, point something out to her. But it is like referring to demons and asking the demon spirits to help you. Is that what it is?
Well, in fact, there's an equation made in Deuteronomy chapter 18 between those who are mediums or spiritists. So the same idea is in view here, conjuring up the dead.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. I love your program, and I listen quite often, and you're a blessing. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for your kind words, and unfortunately, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.